Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this edition of the Built Different podcast. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Man, we're coming into a busy week this week here in Lynchburg. We got graduation up on the mountain, Liberty University. Man, it's crazy how fast time goes. Finally finishing up a master's. My fiance's finishing up undergrad in nursing. It's crazy. It's exciting times, but still got some papers to do. So there is work to be done, people. So let's keep pushing through. Guys, today, what I want to talk about, it's when a person finds him or herself getting lost and or really spinning out of control. You know, I think a lot of people, what happens is they get this misrepresentation of, you know, just because they have a bad day or they feel like they got the blues every now and then, and sometimes some days are just harder than others. There's a difference between sadness and really what we want to talk about today, which is depression. You know, in sports, especially baseball, we view things in a sense, yeah, everybody goes through a slump in these hard times. And the thing about it is that as hard as they are to get through and push through and battle through, they're also connected to emotion. And so what we want to really dive into today, like I said, is this bigger picture of what is depression. And so depression actually affects people by changing their level of functioning in many areas of their life. Things like sleep, appetite, concentration, mood, energy level, physical health, and social lives can actually change dramatically due to the symptoms of depression. Often people who struggle with depression will describe having difficulty getting out of bed, having little to no motivation, also known as anhedonia, or energy to do the things they typically do, and feeling irritable or very sad. All of these different things certainly make living life much more difficult. Listen to some of these stats real quick. More than 264 million people suffer from depression worldwide. In the United States of America, 17.3 million adults, or 7.1% of the adult population, have had at least one major depressive episode. Then, of those with major depressive episodes, 64% of adults and 71% of adolescents had severe impairment. Depression is the leading cause of disability in the world. And according to the National Institute of Mental Health, neuropsychiatric disorders are the leading cause of disability in the United States, with major depressive disorder being the most common. People don't understand the depths and the importance of what is depression. That's what we're going to dive into today. The persistency, the etiology, the battlefield of the mind, and how when you're going through tough times, you can't isolate yourself, but you actually need to press in because relationships are actually therapeutic in a sense. Today, we're going to be learning under and hearing from Dr. Michael Lyles. Dr. Lyles is a graduate of the University of Michigan, their six-year pre-med medical program. He completed his psychiatric residency and APA/National Institute of Mental Health Minority Fellowship at Duke University Medical Center, where he was the recipient of the North Carolina Neuropsychiatric Association Resident of the Year Award. He was an assistant professor of psychiatry and associate director of outpatient services at the University of Kentucky College of Medicine. He has served for years on our executive advisory board here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. And I just want you guys to understand, this dude, he works with elites of elites when it comes to professional athletes, pastors, all sorts of different people, and he understands depression on a whole different level. And today, what he's really going to do is, even with this whole clinical mindset, he's going to dumb it down for us so we can truly understand the difference between just the rough day and slipping into this deeper, darker state. Guys, I cannot wait to hear what he has to share with us today. I hope you guys really enjoy it, and that interview with Dr. Michael Lyles will be coming up right after this short break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Extraordinary Women, a day of worship and encouragement. Coming to Griffin First in Griffin on August 21st. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends and some of the nation's best speakers. Sheila Walsh, Eva Rodriguez, Valerie Burton, Margaret Feinberg, and Tim Clinton. Then praise and worship with Jason Crabb.
But sometimes I hurt, and sometimes I cry.
Mother's Day savings with $49 tickets through May 14th. Order now online at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Dr. Lyles, thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Yes, pleasure.
I've known you for quite some time. I know that we here at the American Association of Christian Counselors are so incredibly thankful for you and all of your years of service, not just in the helping profession, but for serving on our executive advisory board. I know my dad views you as a very dear friend, and I'm not going to lie, sir. My dad and I were out in the golf course just last night, and he was talking some smack when I told him that we were having an interview together. He said he could take you. I mean, I don't know if that's the truth or not. Do you think that's the truth?
I know that's not the truth, But the only thing that confirms is that he's a golfer, because golfers are famous for lying. How do you know when a golfer is lying? When he moves his mouth.
No, that's the truth. That is the truth. Sir, what we really want to dive into and talk about today revolves around this topic of depression. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. This is just a topic that I think a lot of people, they don't really understand what it is. So that's how we're going to start out with today. I want our listeners to understand that everybody can have a bad day, right? Everybody sees the blues. They have these tough times. In sports, especially baseball, I love baseball. You love baseball. We talk about going into a slump, right? So that happens. But what I want, help us understand is just what is depression? And also, what are some warning signs of maybe when we're actually starting to slip and just get into some trouble? What does that look like?
Okay. I'm going to start with the Bobby Cox story, since you brought up baseball.
Love it.
Bobby Cox, who used to live right down the street from my office, all of his players say that something he told them was a good lesson in life. He said that he didn't like college football because to win a championship, you had to win all your games. And in baseball, if you won 2 out of 3, you could win the World Series.
That's right.
Okay, so you're going to have a bad day every now and then. You just write that off and win 2 out of 3. With depression, you don't win anything. It's 0 out of 3. It's sad, down, blue, unable to do what you need to do, either relationally or in your work, all the time. And it lasts for weeks, not a day, or it's not every now and then. But it's a persistent thing that lasts over a long period of time and affects you to the point that it starts to affect your body systems. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You may cry. Your thinking becomes corrupted. You start to feel hopeless, maybe even have suicidal thoughts. I've had patients tell me that their kids would be better off if they were dead. You know, this kind of thing. So it's an overwhelming sense of sad, down, blue, and a loss of interest in things that used to be fun or pleasurable. And it's very common. Oh, about 13 to 17% of men and over 20% of women will have an episode of this in the course of their lifetime.
Wow. That's very good stuff, because what I'm hearing is like the persistency of it, the overwhelmingness of it, and the depths of it, and also the anhedonia, the different things that come, loss of pleasure, loss of motivation. There's so many different aspects of it. So that's something that really defers, like you said, from just something that is every once in a while, just having a bad day. It's definitely different. Dr. Lyles, when looking into the etiology of it all, there's so many different sources of depression. I think a lot of it and some of it could be biological. Some of it could really be stemmed from and be rooted in past experiences, past things such as attachment issues, attachment problems. And what people may not understand is that this isn't just about willpower, right? And just like getting over it. That's not what this is. And we know just a moment ago, depression is so much deeper than that. So, sir, in your work with so many different individuals, especially athletes, what are some common sources that you see in them causing them to get lost and maybe spin out of control here?
You're correct. There's a lot of different reasons why people can get depressed. And if we just focus in on athletes, some of the specific kinds of things, something that's gotten a lot of publicity are concussions, what we call traumatic brain injury, which is not just a football thing. It happens in a number of sports. Probably one that has the most problems if you be a professional hockey or any kind of hockey.
Right.
Anything that neurologically impacts the health of your brain can cause you to develop depression. Some of the medications that people take in athletics, pain medication can have depression as side effects. Withdrawal from pain medications can cause people to have depression that becomes persistent. Steroids that people use trying to recover from injuries can sometimes have depression as a side effect. Some people, it's a genetic thing that runs through families. And if you start asking them, mama had depression, they had an uncle that had depression, maybe some alcoholism or substance abuse that represented somebody trying to self-medicate an undiagnosed and untreated depression. And then there's something about athletes that's a little bit different. There's three things about athletes that put them at risk for depression more than anybody else. If you think about it, an athlete has to perform. They're graded by how they perform, no matter what the sport is. You know, everybody has some metric that they use to decide whether they are performing. And you're expected to perform, to play while hurt. As they say, are you injured or are you hurt? Because if it's not that bad, you're still supposed to play.
Yeah.
And then third, you have the crowd, the audience that is giving you immediate approval or disapproval for what you're doing.
That's right.
And performing, if your life begins to evolve around performing, you know, that if I score touchdowns, if I strike people out, or if I can hit three pointers, then I'm a good person. What happens when you can't do that? Because nobody has a good night every night.
That's right.
Nobody is good. And what happens when you're not playing your sport anymore? A lot of the people I see are people that are retired and they can't find anything to replace what they had in athletics. Because everything about their person was wrapped around performing. And playing while hurt. I had a guy who used to live across the street from me that was an NFL football lineman for years. And he used to joke about how, you know, it wasn't such thing as being injured. If you got injured, you better still play because somebody's going to take your job, which means you have to tune out that I'm hurting physically. I have to tune out that I'm tired. I have to tune out that I'm not as fired up today to go do this and still go perform. Well, that teaches you to tune out how you know your feelings, your thoughts, where you are spiritually in the name of doing something very superficial, like blocking a guy. And if you take that into life, you lose touch with who you are as a person, with whether your needs, your thoughts. You tune out what's going on with other people. You don't see their needs and thoughts, and it leads to big relationship problems. And then the crowd. I had a professional wrestler told me one time, he had retired. He said sometimes he plays his walk-up music just to see if it'd get him fired up. But he said walk-up music doesn't work if there's nobody screaming and hollering right after it.
Wow.
And how do you recreate the screaming and hollering of the crowd when you walk into the batter's box, when you walk down a ramp as a professional wrestler, when you run out on the field as a football player? And there's nobody's clapping, nobody's screaming your name, nobody has on your jersey. It's just you. And you're in Publix buying fruit.
Wow. Yeah.
And nobody really gives a rip.
Yeah. You're right.
And the other thing, you always hear in sports that everybody gets cut eventually or they have to retire.
Exactly.
And that kind of fatalistic thing that, you know, that I'm only my worth is only defined in a short period of time by being able to do a specific thing does not translate into the rest of life, does not translate into being a parent, does not translate into being a spouse, being somebody's child, working in a different job arena. Hopefully you don't get cut there. Hopefully if you do retire, it's on your own terms. But it has, you know, a lot of people in even a professional sports person, by 30-something years old, you know, their career is pretty much over.
Right.
And if you played in school, that's over in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And what do you do with the rest of your life if the only thing that you thought you had going for you was playing ball? All of that can lead to tremendous problems in how you live your life if you have not prepared for that.
Mm. Sir, this stuff is right up my alley. I love everything you're saying because I see this on a very daily basis too, even with some of my old teammates, right? Guys mm-hmm. that just, it's tough to walk away from the game because their identity is just consumed in it, right? And when their identity is consumed in it, what is next, right? And these questions start coming up, and that's such a difficult thing for people to maneuver and navigate through. So I was taking notes over here. That's so good. The performance piece, the expected to play while hurt piece, the crowd. And I believe a lot of this and what we're going to talk about here and what you're already starting to dive into is it stems back to the battlefield of the mind. You know, and I think athletes and these hard-nosed people, a lot of people think they can just outlast depression. They think they just need to be more mentally tough, right? Or just overcome by just giving just a little bit more grit because that's what they've been doing their whole life in sports.
Tape it up.
Yeah, that's it. Tape it up. Exactly.
Tape it up.
Exactly. But, sir, there seems to be this brain, mind, body connection. And when we allow the negative or this stinking thinking to come in, it really starts to come out and we can start to see its negative effects and outcomes on our own lives. So, Dr. Lyles, can you please just dive deeper into this segment of the battlefield of the mind and what that really looks like?
Yeah, when it all comes down to everything I just said really is about your mind.
Exactly.
It's about how you are seeing yourself. How do you define yourself? The real game is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your performance. And really, while playing, in sports, while playing, that's why there are sports psychologists. I have a friend that was a golf psychologist for professional golfers.
We need that.
That won't help Tim. No. He can't treat that. You do have to have a little bit of skill. No. But he used to tell me stories about how the difference between being a great athlete in golf and being just average or mediocre is your mind, how you think, how you handle adversity.
Yeah.
Because life, a lot of life is the management of adversity and difficulty.
Mm.
When I first became a Christian, the person that led me to a faith in Christ told me that if I became a Christian, everything would be wonderful. He was in sales, I might add, that everything would be wonderful, that my life would be happy. I'd have joy. And it kind of, he left off the fact that I would be happy and have joy in the midst of difficulty and trials and struggles. And that's what's going on in your mind is how do you develop coping skills to be able to handle adversity, both on the field and off.
Yeah.
And if the only thing you think you got to do is try harder, that does not work.
That's true. That's very true. That's powerful stuff because, like you're saying, that piece of even the spiritual aspect of it. You know, I think Max Lucado, he says this sustaining grace that God provides, it doesn't promise the absence of pain, but it promises the presence of Christ in the midst of your pain. So that's so good that you just shared that, sir. And one thing that I truly find that's sad and detrimental to individuals and especially to athletes is that they go untreated. You know what I mean? And like you said, they think they can just tape it up. They think that they can do these things and they don't need help. I can just do this on my own, Dr. Lyles.
It's worse than that, Zach. It's worse than that. It's not that they need to just tape it up. They are supposed to just tape it up. That's actually worse.
That is worse.
That if it's you're a really worse. A man, if you're really strong, you tape it up. You don't just need to tape it up. You're supposed to, you know. Do you really want to do this, son? It's what they tell you in high school, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're bleeding. I don't care if you're cut.
You're right.
I remember when my son played high school football. He was a safety in football. And the fullback in the playoffs for the other team was David Pollock, the David Pollock that's on ESPN. He was playing fullback. He went on to play defensive end in the SEC.
Yeah.
And my son was the third string safety. The first string safety looked at the guy and said, I'm hurt, coach. I can't go because he was scared of.
Yeah.
Second string string safety started throwing up. So he turned to my son, the third string, and said, son, I know you can't tackle that big old boy. So just grab hold of something and wait for help. Just don't get hurt. You can't get hurt. So, you know, you're not supposed to need anybody. You're just supposed to hang in there, tape it up.
Mm.
Shut up and tape it up.
Yeah, and when it's expected of you, like you're saying, that's even worse.
That's worse.
Dr. Lyles, as you've worked with athletes and all of these individuals throughout your professional and clinical career, what are some practical steps that you believe individuals can be taking to find help and freedom from not only depression, but also to just increase our mental health hygiene?
Well, I have a little acronym that they use in the addiction work with people that are trying to get sober.
Yeah.
And it's HOW, H-O-W. It begins with being honest. Being honest to yourself about your situation and stop playing these games of I'm a tough guy games. I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
And being honest with one other person. Find one other person. You don't have to find 10, because particularly for an athlete, being honest with one other person is a big deal. And try to tell the truth about what's going on. O is for open. Being open to somebody else. Get out of the isolation. The worst thing, the absolute worst thing somebody with depression can do is be isolated. And you can be isolated in a church, because you can go to church and put on this big front, particularly if you're an athlete, because everybody thinks that you're the big guy in town, you're a big guy on campus, and nobody wants to hear your pain. And then the W is for willing, being willing to listen. If you're going to tell somebody something, somebody you respect, be willing to listen and do something about it. Accept coaching. Accept coaching. Find a coach and accept the coaching, which is a whole different thing. I remember when I first got into working with professional athletes, the general manager hired us because he wanted us to figure out a way to determine which athletes would accept coaching, as opposed to thinking they knew everything already, because that's really important in a team sport.
Absolutely. So how? Be honest, be open, be willing. Good stuff, right? And of course,
the other stuff athletes know, get your rest.
Yeah.
Your diet is important. Exercise. They know that stuff from playing the sport, but it's the other stuff they don't know.
That's right. That's right. And that's the intangibles that people need to know. Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. And, sir, I love what you said here in the O, in the open piece, so really pressing in. And that's really what I want to dive into here in the spiritual side of things real quick, because I believe this negative thinking and depression, really what it really starts to do is, like you said, the word, it isolates us. And isolation is the enemy, in my opinion, to the Christian faith, because Satan and hell would love to get you alone. Right, especially when you're facing these dark seasons of your life. When you're by yourself, oh man, Satan can have a field day with you, right? So really, Dr. Lyles, speaking to the importance of pressing into relationships, whether that be with the Lord, your family, a coach, a therapist, friends, whoever that is, speaking to the importance in the darkest seasons of your life, how integral that is for you.
I'll tell you about a dark season in my life, because see, physicians, particularly psychiatrists, they're supposed to know everything. We're not supposed to need anybody, because everybody comes to us for advice. So we're not supposed to need anybody. We're supposed to know everything. And people will tell you that. They expect that of you. Like, they have these expectations of athletes. 3 years ago, I got cancer. And when somebody tells you you have cancer, it's like being hit with a baseball bat, literally.
Yeah, literally.
Okay. And I won't go into details, but I got a little bit of bravado in me. I didn't think I was going to have cancer. And then when I got told, it was shocking. It was devastating. And I had a friend that had cancer 3 times. And I called him up, and he was this happy guy. I said, and his wife had died from cancer. I called him up. I said, how do you do this? Because I can't be happy not knowing if I can ever practice again, if I'm going to end up on disability, if I might die. How are you doing this? And he said, we're going to get up at 5:30 every morning, and we're going to pray 10 minutes, a prayer of gratitude, something that we're going to be grateful about. I don't want to hear any whining about cancer. I don't want to hear any whining about your practice. I just want you to thank God for one thing that he's doing good in your life. And that changed my attitude. But what happened was, I had a friend that I could respect, who had been through some stuff, that pointed me in the right direction. A lot of athletes have friends that point them in the wrong direction.
That's right.
Okay, you pick your friends and your accountability partners carefully. I have about 3 or 4 guys that I talk to on a regular basis. 2 of them and I went fishing a couple weekends ago, and we've been accountability partners with our families, with our marriages, with our money for years, decades. And you have to have people in your life that's going to build you up. Everybody's going to be accountable to somebody. They're going to either build you up or tear you down. And a lot of people in the lives of athletes are hanger-oners. They're just there for the fame and swag. Yeah. And when that's gone, they don't care anything about you.
Right. Right.
And you planned out the hard way. I had a guy I was seeing. He didn't show up for his appointment. I called him up. His cell phone was cut off. So I called up his agent and I said, your boy's cell phone is cut off. What's going on? He goes, hey, he just signed his contract. I got my cut. That's his problem if he didn't pay his cell phone bill.
Wow.
Click.
Wow.
His agent didn't care. Mm. Find people that care about you truly, about your soul and your spirit. Lean into that and build those relationships when you don't need them in a crisis so that when you do have a crisis, you have something to fall back on.
Mm. Find those meaningful relationships and people who genuinely care about you.
And you're not going to find them at the club.
You ain't going to find them at the club. That's the truth, sir. Oh, my goodness. I love what you said, though, about even the piece of, you know, as a therapist, you're supposed to be this, like, perfect person, this persona of it, right? And I heard a quote the other day that said, I want to be a wounded helper, not a helper who is secretly wounded. So I'm so glad that you shared that because, sir, that's good in helping people understand that you're not always supposed to be perfect. This life is not about perfection. Nobody will ever reach perfection. It's not expected of you, and it's okay to understand that. And it makes me think of one of my dad's favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So being able to receive that comfort, to press into relationship with God, to press into relationship with people who genuinely care about us. And sir, Dr. Lyles, just to finish off, this has been a blessing just to be able to learn from you. I've been taking notes this entire time. This is right up my alley, and I know this is right up yours, so I'm so thankful for you and your time. But sir, just finish us up and close us up with this. What is your word of hope, encouragement, and motivation to the listener out there today who just feels lost, they feel desperate and hopeless, the person who may be ruminating on the stinking thinking for quite some time, and who just seems to be spiraling out of control in a really dark season of life. Sir, what is your message for that individual today?
There's a plaque I have up in my office that somebody gave me, Proverbs 11:14. Hmm. It says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. The point of that verse is find somebody, the right kind of somebody to talk to, that one person that you can begin to break the silence with. Silence and isolation will destroy you. But when there's an abundance of people in your life giving you counsel, godly counsel, there's victory. Because another verse I like is Psalm 30:5. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You're going to have times of weeping. Like Bobby Cox said, you're going to lose 1 out of 3. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way life is. Okay. But winning those 2 out of 3 is about having people in your life, having a relationship with God and people that build you up and that help you to build your foundation on something that's firm, that's not dependent on whether the crowd is yelling or booing, that's not dependent on the size of your contract, that's not dependent on whether you're traveling in ball or not. Whether you're the Friday night starter or not, you know, it's dependent on something else that does not change. And that's relationship with God that's eternal.
Mm. Find somebody to talk to. Press into relationship. Dr. Mike Lyles, thank you so much for joining us today. Like I said, thank you for your words, your wisdom, your knowledge, and just your time. Sir, we really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Wow, what a powerful interview with Dr. Michael Lyles. I know I was sitting over here taking notes the entire time. Some of the things that I really invested in and wrote down here were things like the persistency of it, right? Things like the etiology of it. When it comes to athletes dealing with depression, I loved what he said when he shared those 3 points about what they're really expected of them, right, is to perform. And then also they're expected to perform while being hurt. And then also they live for the applause, right, of the crowd. And so, of course, that can mess with people when things aren't going their way, when it feels like it's spinning out of control. It makes sense that some people get lost because, like we're talking about, it is a battlefield of the mind. And what we're listening to, the thoughts that we're really thinking on, per se. Those are the ones that really control us. But I love how you came out with that HOW acronym, right? Honesty. You got to be honest with yourself. O is open. You got to be open with other people. Find somebody to be open with. And then the last one is you have to be willing. You got to be willing to accept the facts, to push through, and press in to relationship with one another. I want to end with this. I read it in the interview there with him, but I want to read it one more time. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Everybody, keep pressing into relationship. And also, make sure that you guys stick around for a very special house call, as my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joining us and answering a question by one of you right after this short break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Just added former White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, New York Times bestselling author Lisa Bevere. Just added to the Extraordinary Women Conference at Thomas Road Baptist Church in October. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends Kayleigh McEnany, Lisa Bevere, Demi Lee Tebow, Shalene Bryan, and more. Returning with praise and worship, Michael O'Brien, and music from Danny Gokey.
This is your time.
Story? Get Mother's Day savings with $64 tickets through May 14th. Order online at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Kayleigh McEnany, Lisa Bevere, Danny Gokey, Laura Story, and more at the Extraordinary Women Conference.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. It's time for a house call. This segment features professional counselors in our circle answering one of your questions.
For this edition of House Call on the Built Different podcast, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. You know, the old Poga cartoon says this: we've met the enemy, the opponent, and the enemy would be us. Hear me. We can affect and we can infect our performance. Maybe it's by not being prepared or tentative, our tone or whatever it is. We can affect and infect our performance for good and for bad. That's why we've got to bring energy. We've got to bring expectation. We've got to execute at the highest level. How do we do it? Number one, accept responsibility. There's no blame game today. Great athletes don't make excuses. They make adjustments. Challenge, it's always a part of the game. Pushback, chanting against you, all that, voices, it's always going to come. Don't let anything inside. Second, keep your passion. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. In other words, you better find that zone. Get yourself locked in. And hear me again, criticism, chants, challenge, they're all a part of life and leadership. Ignore it all. They have no power over you unless you give it to them. Listen to the words of General H. Norman Schwarzkopf. He said, success without adversity is not only empty, it's impossible. Closing thought, get some fight back in you. Get some fire back in you. And let's get after it. For this edition of House Call on the Built Different podcast, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
Hey, everybody, to learn more about my dad, you can visit him at drtimclinton.com. As always, thank you guys for joining us, and we hope to see you on the next edition of the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different Podcast with Zach Clinton.